I met her on Grafton Street, right side of the bar. She shared a cigarette with me while her brother played the guitar. She asked me, what does it mean? The Gaelic ink on your arm. Said it was one of my friend's songs. Do you want to drink on? She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table with Johnny riding a shotgun. Chatted some more, one more drink at the bar. Then put Van on the jukebox, got up to dance. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band. But
News Talk ZB, it is now 24 to 6. Trish Sherson and Josie Bagani on the huddle in just a moment. First, the police watchdog has criticised officers for their dealings with the man who went on to kill Auckland jogger Joe Pert. The IPCA has found two police officers should have made further inquiries when dealing with an incident involving Tevita Filo on January 6 last year. It's also found a police dispatcher didn't pass on all available information about the incident. Filo went on to kill Joe Pert in Remuera the following morning. Inspector Tracy Phillips is with me to talk about this. Inspector, good evening.
Sure.
So you are defending the police actions in this case. Why so?
Well, look, our staff come to work and they all want to be doing a good job. And what they did was they dealt with what they were presented with, which was a man who was acting a bit strangely with a knife. So they took the knife off him, they warned him, which is completely appropriate, and then they followed him in a different direction to make sure that he didn't continue to follow the couple. So, you know, I think they made the right decisions with the information that they had in front of them at the time.
But they pulled this guy Filo over, didn't they, because of a 111 call, is that correct? He was following someone?
Yes, that's correct.
So there were two things there, a knife, and he was following someone for no good reason.
Well, they had to talk to him about where he'd come from and what he was doing, and he gave an explanation that was a little bit strange, which is why they actually followed him in the opposite direction to make sure he didn't continue to follow. I mean, we now know that he was involved in a spate of burglaries, he'd been unlawfully on property and involved in an indecent assault, but those guys didn't know that at the time. And we can't just be arresting people for acting a bit strange or a bit weird. Heavens above, our jails are full enough.
And what about the police dispatcher? It's being reported that the police dispatcher knew that the car was wanted after a theft from a shop. Isn't that another feature of all of this?
Yeah, so when we looked him up at the time, yes, there was a flag on the car for stealing a loaf of bread. And we're talking about something that's less than $4. So even had that information been communicated to the officers at the scene, I'm not seeing that as a good reason to take someone back to the police station, hold them in custody and do an opposition to bail.
So you don't draw any link at all between the police actions and the death of Joanne Pert?
Look, to be fair, it is tragic what happened to Joanne Pert. And knowing everything that we know now and the offending that had happened prior, the burglaries, the unlawfully on property, indecent assaults and things, if we had known all of that at the time, we would have absolutely had grounds to take him back to the police station, hold him in custody and oppose his bail. But we didn't know that. What we had was a man who was acting a bit strange, who'd stolen a loaf of bread 6 months or so ago and had a knife on him. We took the knife off him. We made sure that the people who were being followed were no longer being followed. And the guys made reasonable decisions with the information they had in front of them at the time.
So hindsight a wonderful thing, I guess, is it?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing. And, I mean, it is awful and tragic. And if we could take it back and change it for Joanne Pert and her family, we absolutely would. But, you know, our guys do come to work wanting to do a good job and make a difference. Mm. And we think they got it right on the night.
The interesting thing is that the complaint was made by a former policeman who believes that the findings are unbelievable and contradictory. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, we acknowledge the findings of the Independent Police Complaint Conduct Authority, but we don't necessarily agree with all of them. You know, these guys went to work to do a good job, and they did the best job that they could with the information in front of them.
Did the IPCA reach the conclusion that an arrest was a no-brainer?
No, I think the IPCA have reached slightly different conclusions. And as I say, we don't necessarily agree with all of the conclusions that they've drawn. But we've had a good look at it. The police officers involved have had plenty of time to reflect and say, what would we or could we do differently? We can't arbitrarily detain people because they're a bit strange and they've got a knife. Even if we had detained him, which would actually have been unlawful given the information that we had in front of us, because there's quite a high threshold around Section 109 of the Mental Health Act, being able to detain someone and get them assessed, even had we done that, he probably would have been assessed and released. So you need to be aware that actually he was undiagnosed schizophrenic, and it was found in court that he was able to mask his mental health issues.
Thank you very much. That is Inspector Tracy Phillips. It is now 19 to 6.
The Huddle with CodeBlue.co.nz.